Radio.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. 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 This is the day that the Lord has made. We will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. Almighty God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for each other. We thank you that our families are complete in you. We thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift because it comes from you. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for Bible study on tonight, Lord. Have your way. Speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, open up our ears and eyes of our understanding, oh God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, reveal yourself to us. Let the revelation, wisdom, and knowledge burst forth in our hearts tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Touch us, oh God. Hallelujah. Meet, hallelujah. Every man, woman, boy, girl, under the sound of our voices, meet them at the point of their need and then give them super abundantly above in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you and we praise your name today, oh God. We glorify your name today. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing. And Father God, hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord, for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Scorpions, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Satan, we curse you from the root and command you to be bound in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We loose tonight the knowledge and wisdom of God, the love and joy and peace of God. We loose the favor of God, the victory of God, the prosperity of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for, again, every man, woman, boy, girl, under the sound of our voices, touching, hollering, meet all the needs of them and their families, our families, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise and we do magnify your name today. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We bless your name. We magnify your name. We honor your name in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
You know, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And the house of the Lord is not a building, really. It's the presence of the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Two or three are gathered in his name. He there, y'all.
Also.
Sometimes. He there. He here, y'all.
Thank you.
My Greek brothers would say, in there, ago. It is here. Here. He's here. But I throw that in there on you. Yeah, I know y'all still praying for Brother Earl. Continue to do so.
Amen. We see your dust.
We have. We have a special teaching today. It's called a reboot because we did it last Tuesday. We're going to do it again. We might add something extra, but we're going to do it again. See, we talked about how to anoint your home. And that's important because that's where
Amen.
That's where you sleep. And that's where you communicate, hopefully, with your family for the most part. So it's important to anoint that place where you lay your head. Hallelujah. Without further ado, again, we're going to hopefully be able to get to two, maybe three audios. So after each audio, we're going to have 5 minutes. Pastor Peters will time it and will let us know, you know, it's time for questions and comments. And then we'll go to the next audio. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. Let us begin. Yes.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is called How to Anoint Your Home. Again, today's topic that we're discussing is called How to Anoint Your Home. Another title I could give this teaching could be How to Cleanse Your Home. In my time in ministry, I will tell you that I've often had people reach out to me and ask me if I would swing by their house and either anoint it or pray over it or turn around and cleanse it. I will tell you that they're all the same thing. And even though this is such an important topic, I will also tell you it's not something that's really taught about too often. I can't necessarily tell you why that is, other than it just hasn't been given a lot of attention. But I will tell you that most people in the churches that they go to, if you go to the heads of your church, whether it be your pastor or the pastoral staff or the elders, if you inquire about wanting someone to go by and pray or anoint your home, usually they have a person or a group of people dedicated to doing that function. Now, not all churches do. And I will tell you that if you lead a church and you're listening to this teaching, I highly encourage you to go before the Lord and pray about training up some people who can start to do this within your church. At the same time, if you just don't have those resources, there's nothing wrong with you partnering with other local churches within your area. And when people come with this type of a need, reaching out to them and asking if their staff or their people can help you out. We're one body of Christ, and it's time that we start helping each other out instead of always feeling like we're in competition with each other. That being said, I want to talk to you today about what it means to anoint your home and some simple steps you can do it. One of the first questions I get asked is, what does it mean to anoint your home? Well, to anoint your home simply means you turning around and anointing your home with either, usually it's with an anointing oil, but some people, especially based on what type of faith they are, especially if they're of a Catholic faith, they may choose to use holy water, and both are just fine. What I will tell you is that when I do it personally, I always use oil, but I always carry anointing oil on me. This is oil that has been consecrated for the use of the Lord's use only, and I anoint to cleanse homes when I'm using this oil. I use it for different things, but when I'm doing a prayer walkthrough or a cleansing of a home, I'll use this oil. Now, that being said, we should probably first discuss very quickly why we anoint and the different types of anointings there are. The Bible shows us very clearly that there's three different reasons why we anoint. The first reason why we anoint is to bless, the second one is to protect, and the third one is to break or to cleanse. I'll give you three quick examples of what each one was. If you go back to the story of the prophet Samuel, and when he went to King David, and he turned around and anointed David, this is before David was the king, but when he was a shepherd boy out in the field, the Lord had sent the prophet Samuel to go and anoint him to be the future king of Israel because Saul was no longer going to be king because of his rebellion towards God. When he sent the prophet Samuel to David, the prophet Samuel poured oil over his head and he anointed him. In other words, he blessed him to step into or fulfill the role that God had called him or purpose God had called him to fulfill. When we're blessed like that, we're blessing our we're blessing our abilities and we're blessing our resources, and he blessed him to fulfill that. The next one I want to share with you is blessing or as anointing for cleansing. If you remember in the Word, the Lord was talking to his disciples, and they tried casting out a demon out of someone, and they were unable to do so. And in it, one of the scriptures, and there's different varying scriptures about this, but the scripture says that he told them that this type of demon can only come out through fasting and through anointing with water. He talked about actually anointing them with water to cast the demon out. That's for cleansing. You anoint to cleanse. And the third way goes back to the story of Moses when he was with the Israelites, when they were in the Hebrews, when they were in Egypt and they were in bondage under Pharaoh. God had already been sending his different plagues and things on Pharaoh to release his people, and Pharaoh didn't want to do so. So at the Feast of Passover, when he turned around and the Lord told Moses that to have every Hebrew person slaughter a lamb and put the blood on the lintel of the door, which means the top and sides of the door frame. That way, when the spirit of death passed through the land that night, it was going to take that firstborn child of every family that did not have that mark on there. That was an anointing for protection. So when we talk about anointing homes, the reason why we do it is to cleanse it of unclean or foul or demonic spirits out of that place. I will also tell you this, and this is extremely important. Anointing is not limited when you're anointing your home. It's not limited to just the house you stay in. If you are in the military or you travel for any reasons, I travel often, and when I do, before I ever get situated in my hotel, I always anoint it to cleanse it of any foul and unclean spirit that has ever operated or moved through that room. And I anoint the headboard of where I will be laying my head, and I speak good dreams over that situation. The reason why that's so important, especially in hotels, is because you have different people go through those hotels. They operate and act in different manners, and unclean spirits or demons are very real. That is a very real thing that exists. If you don't believe that and you think that's a wacky teaching, that's okay. But I'm telling you, this is a real deal. And when you do, you're simply cleansing it of those foul spirits so that they can't try to cling to you, or more than anything, just to clean them out so that you can turn around and have a clean environment. If you turn around and you do this in your own home, I will tell you that this is extremely important to do. Why? Because oftentimes if you're renting an apartment or renting a home or purchasing a home, there's been someone in that home before you, whether if it was the people who built it, whether if it was the people that remodeled it, or the people who lived there before you, there's been other people in that home, and it's important for you to anoint. I want to go over with you some simple steps or some simple questions that I've been asked that I hope clarify this for you a little further, and it's also going to clarify why it's important or how to anoint your home. The first question that we get asked is usually, how long does it take to anoint or to cleanse a home? I will tell you that obviously that's dependent on how big the house is, but for most homes, it usually takes about 20 to 30 minutes if the home is empty. If the home is not empty, then it certainly can take longer, and I'll explain why. With an empty home, and someone means, well, what do you mean with an empty home? Well, I will tell you that any home that I purchase for me and my family, before I ever move one thing into it, before I move one roll of toilet paper or paper towels or anything into that home, I'll turn around and I will anoint all, I will anoint the property line, the front, the back, and the sides. I will then turn around and I will open the front door and I will anoint the home and then begin my walkthrough or my cleansing walkthrough of the home before anything is moved in. I will tell you, though, that times of anointing a home can vary even if it's empty, because when you're going through a home, I've had times before where I'm anointing a home and the Lord will impress upon me emphatically when I enter a certain room that maybe there was child abuse or molestation or something that happened in there before, and I have to cleanse that room and get those foul spirits or in their presence of those foul spirits, the remnant of those foul spirits, out of that place before I can continue on to the next room. So it depends. Now, for most people, they're not moving it. I mean, for some of you, this will benefit you in the future if you move into a new home, but most people are already established in their home. So the next question comes up is, can I anoint my home still even though I already have stuff in it? And the answer is yes. However, when you're anointing a home, one of the things I tell people when they ask is that as if I go through and anoint your home, if there's something that I feel has a foul spirit attached to it, I will cleanse that item. However, if I receive an instruction from the Lord that that item must go, you have to be willing to part with anything that's within this home. And I make sure they are in full agreement with that before I go in and invest my time in their home. The reason why is because if I tell them that their kitchen table's got to go, or their, you know, their coffee table in their living room, and they say okay, and we go put it outside, and I cleanse the home and leave, and they drag that coffee table right back in, that did no good, and it wasted my time. You must be willing to cleanse or depart from things that the Lord shows you to depart from. I'll give you a great example. Sometimes I encounter people who struggle with depression. And if they struggle with depression, I'll start asking them about it. Like, well, you know, where do you feel depressed the most? Oh, I feel depressed at my dining room table. Really? Well, tell me about this dining room table. How long have you had it? Well, it was passed down to me from my mom. And she received it from my grandma. Ask him, does your mom struggle with depression? Yeah, she struggles with depression. Does your grandma struggle with depression? Yeah, she struggles with it too. Well, then there you have it. Your grandmother pressed down a generational curse to you through that table. It was a spouse spirit that clinged to the table. And in addition to that, your mom got it, and then she passed it to you. get rid of the table. That may sound silly, but I'm telling you that that is a very real thing. If you're doing this in a hotel setting, what I simply do is you can't go throw out the bed. I mean, it ain't your bed, it's the hotel. But simply go through and we'll do a prayer walkthrough and anoint everything within the room. The next question that I tend to get is who can perform a spiritual cleansing or prayer walkthrough or anointing of a home? The fact is, that's a good question, and the answer is, you can. Now, if you don't feel spiritually built up to do so, then you need to go to the leadership of your church and ask them to help you or direct you to someone who can. But it should be a trusted source, you know. I remember years ago when I first heard about this, the Lord was stirring it in my heart that it was something he wanted me to do. And we were getting ready to move into a new home. And so I went to one of the pastors of the church I was going to at the time. It was a pastor by the name of Pastor Tony. He's a really good man, someone I like and look up to. And as I went to him and asked him and I was talking about it, he was giving me information about what it meant to cleanse the home. And I asked him, well, can you do this or someone do this? And the question he bounced back at me is, well, why can't you do it? And I said, that's a good question. I don't know. Can I do it? I didn't know if I could. He said, yeah, you have to understand that you have authority as a believer to do so. You've been given permission to do so. And at that point, I never looked back. It was one of the greatest things I heard in my personal walk. And at that point, I went and did my prayer walkthrough, and I've been doing them ever since. The next question that I get is, when's the best time? The best time for you to do it is before you move anything into the home. However, second to that, if you've already got stuff in it, then the best time for you to do it is the moment you hear this teaching. The moment you first find out about it or hear about it, if you're married or you know, whatever, you need to get in alignment with whoever owns that home. Or if you're renting it, then you're in charge of that home. If you're married, you need to get in alignment with your spouse, and you need to do it at that time. The best time for you to do it is before you move anything into it, or once you learn about this, to go before the Lord and pray about it, and then to do it. You know, you don't have to be having kooky things happen within your house to benefit from a prayer walkthrough or anointing of your home. But I will tell you that oftentimes people have funny things or things in their house. They'll have certain sounds or things that they hear sometimes. And I'm not trying to say this to scare you, but it's important for you to do prayer walkthroughs of your home and consecrate them unto the Lord. The next question that we get are, what are the items that are needed? I will tell you, really, you only need two items. The first one is really a dedication scripture for your home. And that's not necessarily an item, but something that you go before the Lord and he directs you to in his word. And you don't have to have a dedication scripture, but it's usually good because it establishes that you're anointing his home and standing on the word. And you're anointing your home and you're dedicating the scripture over your home. That's an important thing. But the main thing you need is something to anoint the home with, whether that be anointing oil or holy water, but I strongly recommend anointing oil. And if you don't have anointing oil, it's not something special you got to go buy. You simply, if you have any type of oil in your home, but preferably olive oil, you simply get a little bit of olive oil, you put it in a separate dish, and you pray over that oil to consecrate it. And once you've done consecrating it, I usually exalt the name of Jehovah Makedesh over it, and that I am the Lord who consecrates. And when you exalt that name over it, and you pray over that and dedicate it, that that's going to be used only for the anointing purposes of God. Once you're done anointing your home, you dump it out. You don't turn around and cook it. That oil cannot be used for anything else. If you want to save it for later use, you can, but you must always know that that oil cannot be used for anything else but to anoint. And the last thing I get asked is, how do I pray? I will tell you, praying is very simple, but this is how I do it. When I'm doing a prayer walkthrough of a home, I anoint the perimeter of the home first. In other words, I anoint the front and back property lines on the side. I will then turn around and I will go to the home and I will open the front door and I will at least make sure it's cracked. And I anoint the lintel of the door. I anoint the top of the door frame and the sides. You can make a sign of the cross or you can just simply swipe your finger over it. But I say, I anoint this home in the name of Jesus. And I dedicate this home to you, Father. And I exalt the name of Jehovah Shammah over that, that I am the God who's there. I exalt God over the home, that he's the God who's there. And then I just simply say, I speak to any foul or unclean or devilish or demonic spirit that's within this home. You are no longer allowed to be in this home. I'm dedicating it to the purpose of the Lord's use, and I am commanding you now to leave this house. Ministering spirits and angels, I command you to form a hedge of protection around me, but I command you to go through this home and cleanse any foul spirit that's in this home. And then you must leave that front door open. I guess you don't necessarily have to. Some people say, oh, you don't have to. I always do. Why? So in case something's in the home, it can get out. So I turn around and I leave the door open, and then I go room by room, and I anoint every wall. I anoint every window, and I anoint every wall within the home. I don't get silly and try to anoint the roof and stuff like that or the ceiling, but I anoint all the walls. And as I'm praying, if you know how to pray in tongues or pray in the spirit, then I will tell you it's beneficial for you to pray in the spirit while you're doing this. But at the same time as you're walking through and you're praying over the home, you pray in the spirit. If you don't know how to pray in the spirit, then you just start, you know, praising the name of Jesus, or you start speaking his word and praying in your native language, whatever that is, English or whatever, you pray through the home. But it's best if you can pray in tongues. Why? Because when we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us, he's praying things that we don't even know or understand about, but he's praying things that need to be prayed for or prayed over. So as we go through the home, as you're going through it, if an image pops up in your mind or an idea, it could be that there is something foul within there. And if you encounter a foul spirit, that's nothing for you to get scared of. It's not like they can jump on you or anything like that. You don't want to be afraid of that. You have the authority of the believer on you. You simply turn around and speak to it and say, in the name of Jesus, foul spirit, I rebuke you and command you to leave this place now in Jesus' name. And you anoint the home and you continue going through. It's not a long, drawn-out battle. The fact is, the Word tells us that we're more than conquerors. We're the victors and not the victims. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. We're blessed going in, and we're blessed going out. Praise God. Guys, I know this video was a little longer today, but this is an instructional video that I hope helps you. It's meant to help you be able to know how to cleanse your home and the homes of those around you and the loved ones you encounter. As always, we want to remind you to go by our website at neilreyes.com and check out all of our teaching resources, or you can find us on social media at YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. We stream all of our teachings 24 hours a day at no cost on our website and through our social media. We also invite you to subscribe, to like, follow, whatever it is. We invite you to get connected with us and then share these teachings with others. If you find these teachings encouraging, there's a strong chance others will too. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you so much, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Can't hear you.
Anybody have any questions? Anybody have any comments?
Comments. When you and Pastor Earl moved into your house, you remember the whole church came up to your house and we anointed that house and prayed. It was a new house that you all moved into. Remember that? Christ Deliverance. I mean, Word and Faith with Pastor Warren.
Praise God. No, I don't remember.
I do. We had an anointing. We came down the street to your new house.
Praise.
And all the church members came in and anointed the house. It was awesome. That's how we knew how many floors we had. We knew how many floors you had in the house and everything. We went all through there, girl. It was awesome.
Praise God.
And I just knew to do that from way back when. Even when my kids moved into apartments, if I got them in time, I knew to pray over it. But I'm seeing the power of getting those spirits out and inviting God's Holy Spirit. And I remember there used to be stories on TV about things moving around in the house, but they were really crazy. That thing is real. But we have the power to terminate the spirit's actions in that place. And we don't have to feel intimidated by doing it because we are authorized by God to do it.
Right.
But it's a procedure. And like he said, getting a special, getting oil, put it in a container, and after you finish, to throw it away. Don't use it. Throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
And opening the front door and the back door,
mm-hmm.
Or the opening the door to let the spirit go out and anointing front and back. That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
I've done all of those things, yeah, but it is really true. But people don't know it and don't do it.
I know, and a lot of times, QB, if you've never been in somewhere where someone has taught that, it won't.
Uh-huh.
It's something that you won't even think about. And then when you see stuff on TV, you say, oh, please, that's just spooky stuff on TV. TV. You'll think that it's only something you see on television. But the spirit, the evil spirit, it's really true, and it's real. You know, and you sometimes they don't contribute to sounds you hear in the house or stuff that, unusual things happening in the house. A lot of times you don't contribute it to anything, but that's just something I'm imagining. Or you don't think about someone that occupied that house before you moved in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. In fact, your spirit disturbs them. That's why they're acting up. But Cynthia was the one that told me she had went on a trip and went to a hotel, and she was having a hard time sleeping. So she, I think she brought a sheet or something and anointed the bed and everything so she could sleep the next night because the spirits in the room would let her sleep.
Mm.
That thing is real. So, yes. Hey, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. You got the knowledge. Act on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of times we think it's just something that somebody stuff that only happens over there in Africa where they do the voodoo and stuff. But I read a book, This Present Darkness, and in that book it told how these two, they were unsaved at one time, but since then they've gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. But they were nurses. I think they were witches, and they used to do, and they used to like. What you call it, transcend their body or throw their spirit places and cause and stuff like that. When I read that book, this is many years ago, it taught me just how powerful we are in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
They can do that, and they don't. I mean, it's evil. Oh my gosh, and we have power to. We can go somewhere. I mean, send the. I mean, we have the power of the Holy Ghost. The devil don't have more power than we do. So therefore, we can go places and, I mean, lay hands on people and we send the word of God and speak healing and stuff like that. I mean, over people and people be healed and stuff like that. And oh my gosh! And then these women in this book, they were you know how on television they see they go in trances and they're sending their spirit somewhere and stuff like that.
Yes, they are.
We're more powerful than they are. A lot of times somebody don't tell you the power that you have in your hands. You don't know.
Mm-mm. Did you know the white girl that was at our church when we were at Mitchell's?
Uh-huh.
I can't think of her name.
Mm-hmm.
She was a witch. She told me so before she was saved. But she and I had gotten close, and she had come to my house. And she actually went through my house and told me the things that were demonic in there and wanted me to get rid of them. That was a big thing. It was a very interesting time with my marriage as well. But she said, I'm a witch, and I see things, and I know things. She even went down. I had a daycare in my home. She even went down the toy box and pulled out some toys that were demonic, and I immediately threw them away.
Praise God.
Well, everything that he says is absolutely true. I have experienced it. I didn't understand it. It scared me, but I knew it was real.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
5 minutes up, Pastor.
Okay. Now, there's one question I would love to ask. Now, I would hear a discussion on this. Somebody asks you to come and anoint their home.
Mm-hmm.
They are shacking up. They're not married. What do you do?
Pray over the home and rebuke the spirit of fornication and adultery and everything that ain't right in it. So therefore, you know what? After we leave the spirit of the Holy Ghost in it, they ain't gonna be comfortable, and the one that don't belong, they're gonna leave.
Hey, I agree with you. That's right.
Very
good.
This is going to be a long discussion, but you got the answer.
Oh.
And one of the things that we want to do, and Neil mentioned it, is select the scripture.
Mm-hmm.
The scripture that is...
That was good.
For me and my house, we will serve Joshua, what's that, 24:15?
Praise God.
Now, religious folk would say, no, we ain't going to do that. Our job is to take light where there's darkness. Is that right?
That's
Amen.
Right.
Jesus didn't just go into the synagogue. He went into the beer gardens, too, where all the publicans and the sinners gathered. And he sat down with them. He did not cohort with them, but what he did, he brought light to the dark place. Hmm.
That's right.
All right, I'm going to leave that alone. I have another audio I want you to hear. All minds are clear on that? Any questions on anointing your home?
Well, Pastor, what if, I just have a question. What if one of your children asked you to come and anoint their brand new home, and then you find out that they start shacking up later on?
Already. You already answered that.
Yeah, you did. They're not going to be comfortable in there.
You go and you put the Holy Ghost on that house. And you might you use your prayer language. I don't know if you heard that. Walk through there using your prayer language.
Yeah.
And the Holy
Spirit. Said, talking to you. Yep.
All God wants you to do is connect to put the dots on the page.
Yeah, he connected them.
Amen. Amen.
Now, like I said, religious folk won't do that. I can't. Y'all, I can't bless your home. I'm not blessing your sin. I'm blessing the house. I'm protecting you, and I'm cleansing the house.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Those three things while you're anointing the home, to bless, to protect, and to cleanse. Y'all need to remember that. You may hear that again. Bless, protect, and cleanse. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay.
Here's another unexpected video.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is the names of God, El Elyon. Again, today's topic that we're talking about is the names of God, El Elyon. El Elyon means the Most High God. Again, the name El Elyon means the Most High God. If you've been following along with us on our teachings, for the last several Fridays, we've been going over the names of God. And each week, we've been introducing you to a new name of the Lord. These are the Hebrew names that are found throughout the Word, and we've been doing it for a couple reasons. The first one is that we want to introduce you to the character of God in a way that maybe you haven't learned him before. And if you have learned it, then it's a reaffirming teaching for you or grows you from glory to glory. In other words, it grows you to the next level. The more knowledge and understanding and wisdom we have about God and who he is in his word and his character, the more confident we are in our personal relationship with him and the things that we can go to him for or that we can count or rely on him for. In addition to that, by learning the names of God, it helps you with your prayer walk because it gives you specific names or understandings of his character that you can exalt over very specific situations within your life. An example I would give you is the name Jehovah Rapha. The name Jehovah Rapha that we covered previously is I am the God who heals. When someone is going through something that they need healing over, whether if it's healing of their spirit, healing of their soul, or healing of their body, they are able to know God in a specific manner as the Lord God, their healer, their supreme physician, and they're able to believe and have confidence in who he is in that situation and to exalt his name over that situation. I will tell you that in today's name, El Elyon, this brings us to the completion of our study on the names of God. There are more names that we haven't covered, but when I went before this teaching and prepared for this, I had asked the Lord which names he wanted me to cover and had committed to going over them on Fridays as he instructed until he was done. The Lord showed me that the name El Elyon is the last one he wants us to cover at this time, and I invite you to go back to our previous teachings. You can find them on our website at neilreyes.com or on our social media on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. And if you go to the Friday teachings, you'll cover the other names of God that we've gone through as well. Today's name is El Elyon, the most powerful, most high God. Praise God. El Elyon, the most high God. I will tell you that this is kind of the name that you can go to exalt over any situation you have. There were certain names we had gone through before that I listed as what I called kind of blanket names. And what I meant by that is they were very specific names with very specific characters behind them, but they were so big you could almost use them in a blanket statement over any prayer you were doing. I will tell you that this particular name is the name that I see that is the largest blanket name in the names that we've covered for the Hebrew names of God. This is the name El Elyon, and it means the Most High God. This is God's Hebrew name, and it is the Most High God. I want to take you right into the scripture and show you where we first discover the name El Elyon, and I want to go over it with you so we can talk about his character. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with us. If not, you can follow along with us on our screen. We're going to be going to the book of Isaiah chapter 14, and we're going to be covering verses 12 through 17. Now, this specific scriptures within the Bible is talking about the fall of Satan. When Satan was cast out of heaven, this is specifically talking about his fall. And in this is where it talks about El Elyon. And it's so important for us to understand that because so many people view the devil as something so strong or so mighty, but it tells us in his word who the devil is. It tells us why he tried to be like God, but it also tells us what his penalty was. And it tells us about what God did to him. And it states in his scripture that when it's all said and done, when we get to heaven and God wraps the thing up and after the rapture and we have the final judgment, that people would look back and when they view Satan, they would say, this is the guy that caused nations to stumble. This is the guy that threatened people. Anyways, let's jump into God's word. Again, we're going to Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 17. Ready? Let's read. Verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High, El Elyon. Verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Verse 16, those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Guys, this is talking about the devil. This is talking about Lucifer when he was cast out of heaven. And in this, the devil is quoted as saying that he wanted to go back and make it back to heaven and ascend himself above God. If you don't think that there's a very real battle between good and evil, if you don't think that there's a very real battle between the kingdom of hell and the kingdom of heaven, you are squarely wrong, and I just backed it up with the scripture for you to understand. It even says in here that the devil himself wants to ascend to be like the Most High. It tells us that in verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There is only one Most High, and it is God, and his Hebrew name is El Elyon, the Most High God. If you are a believer, that is good news for you because it lets you know you're on the winning side. Everybody wants to be with the big dog, or everybody wants to be with the big guy. Praise God, we are with the winning side. We are with the champion of champions. We're with the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is our God. He is our Father, and his name is El Elyon. If you are going through any situation in your life today, I don't care what it is. I don't care what situation you're facing that looks like it's insurmountable. Maybe you look like you're facing certain defeat within your life. But no matter what you're facing, I am telling you, you can take the name of El Elyon and exalt it over anything you're going through. And that thing will have to be brought low to bow its knee before God. Why? Because he is the Most High God. And for something or a situation or circumstance, sickness, whatever, for it to not bow its knee to the name of God, to El Elyon, means it exalts itself above him, and nothing can exalt itself above the Most High. And nothing can exalt itself above the name of God. He is, again, like I said, Jesus is our King of Kings, and he's our Lord of Lords. Praise God, that's good news. Guys, I want to thank you for taking time to stop by today. And if you've been with us over all the Fridays to listen to the names of God, I want to thank you for jumping into this deep dive study with us and learning God's character better. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com or swing by and find us on social media. You can find us on our YouTube channel. You can find us on our Facebook page, or you can find us on Twitter. We want to remind you to subscribe to us, to like us, to follow us, to connect with us on social media. We stream our teachings 24 hours a day at no cost on our website and through our social media. If you found these teachings encouraging and edifying to you, meaning they build you up, we invite you to share them with your coworkers, your friends, your family members, anyone that you're connected with on social media, because if they feed you, there's a good chance they'll feed them, even if you don't hear back about it. But when you share it, it gives you an opportunity to be able to go before and minister and witness to those around what was spoken and around what you heard. Guys, as always, we want to encourage you and remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Praise God. Any questions, clarity, comments?
He just gave me a big club to hit Satan over the head with.
Yes.
I'm telling you. My people perish because of lack of knowledge. That's another nugget, knowledge that we can use in prayer. It empowers us, gives us the confidence to come before his throne boldly, to ask what we will and may without fear, and put Satan under our feet.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, for real. I have a question, though. Now, Satan, the devil, he was an angel first in heaven with God, right? He got into his head that he wanted to be bigger, better, and better. Badder than God. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So when he got this idea in his head, he had some buddies with him, and they all were in agreement, and he had the nerve to come up against God saying all this junk, right? And God put him in his place, then kicked him out with his buddies, right?
Right. That's how I saw it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I got it straight. But he was an angel. In fact, he was the musical angel, wasn't he? All the instruments or something like that?
That's how I was told, too.
And that's why the Satan gets into music and everything, you know, and messes it up so demonically so when people listen to it. And people who are gifted hook up to the spirit of Satan, and it deters the anointing that God had put in him by flipping the script on it. So he messes with everybody in music. It looks innocent. Mm-hmm. But I think they even said on one time it came out that when you play a certain record or music backwards, you can hear Satan speaking, or you can hear evil things coming out of it when you played it backwards.
Mm-hmm.
I said, wow, that is powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whew.
He really has some nerve. That's why God needs us on the earth. Jesus needs us on the earth to act like him, because it's a war. And we've got to win more, you know, win the world for Christ.
Mhm. And that's why we have to gird ourselves up in as much knowledge and with as much word. That's how why when the pastor emphasizes the knowing the addresses, how the scripture said that the enemy took Jesus into the wilderness, told him, well, look, well, you can do this. You can cast yourself down and turn the bread into, turn the stone into bread, and this, and that, you know. And that, and he spoke back to him the word. And that is
That's what
we have to do.
Speak. He said, it is written.
Because of ourselves, we don't have any power, but the word of God does.
That's right. We say what God says, what Jesus says.
That's right. And he knows the word, too.
That's right.
Yes, he does.
Hallelujah.
And he knows how to twist it and make it close enough to what you think it is. That's why you got to know it exactly.
Yes.
Amen.
That's why we need the King James Version, not the, all the other versions. They're good. They're nice. But I want the true, unadulterated word.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to know, just like you said, exactly what it says, because what's that saying? 90% truth, but 10% lie is a whole lie.
A half truth is a whole lie.
A half truth is a whole lie.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And an enemy will want to present to you half truth, and so you see that. Here's one very famous one that people are using about the abortion issue. Of course, God is against abortion. His miracle is for is the creation. His miracle, not destruction, is creation. So he's against that. But the enemy will use that as a way of getting the church to back a immoral leader. Someone who says everything that Christ stood for, he doesn't stand for. But he will home in on issues. But the bottom line is, if Christians, true Christians, are real students of the Bible, they'll understand that God gave us choice to choose right or wrong.
That's right.
And simple as that. And so all those Christian folks, and I put it this way, many years ago, I probably was one of them that said, well, if it's a bad candidate, but if he's against abortion, I'm against it too. But you can't legislate what God wants you to do. You got to just do it. It's a choice you got to make. Mm-hmm. It's a personal choice. And some people have got it in their minds, and I don't know if it's still happening, but they would bomb clinics, and abortion clinics.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
you're right.
People are aborting fetuses. And see, they don't understand that God loses nothing. Because when we all get to heaven, all the miscarriages and the aborted people, their spirit, they will come up to you and say, hi, Daddy, hi, Mommy. You never
That's right.
Name. What's my name?
Mm-hmm.
Because God loses nothing. His word says so.
Amen.
And all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. He has a plan, I'm telling you. You can't legalize a lie either.
I know it's not God's will for folks to die like that.
Mm-mm. No, it's not.
But again, we have choice. And I thank God for his word. Now, I'm going to deal with another video about the names of God. So someone told me, I have not counted them, that there's 72 covenant names of God. I have never counted. The covenant names, it's the character names of God. It's his character. That's what that's talking about. I have never counted them. I don't know if that's true or not. I know that he can be to you whatever you need him to be. That kind of settles
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Oh, yes.
It's probably so many that I can't even count. But here's another. Our minds clear on that video?
Yes, sir.
L-L-Yarn. And the time's up.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
We're going to be discussing the names of God and how to apply them to your prayer walk. Specifically, today's topic is the names of God, Jehovah Rapha. Again, we're covering the names of God, and today is the names of God, Jehovah Rapha. Now, if you've never heard about the names of God, then this is going to be something I think will be very special to you. I remember when I first heard it, it was knowledge and wisdom that I was like, wow. You know, the Lord showed me years ago. Yeah, I remember I was fellowshipping with him one day, and he asked me, he said, son, and when I say he asked me, I'm not talking about a booming voice from the sky. I mean, he spoke to me internally, and he said, son, do you know what the difference between knowledge and wisdom is? And I got quiet before him, and I said, no, sir, not. I guess I don't. Not like you're going to tell me. And he said, knowledge is knowing what my word has to say. Wisdom is understanding how to apply it to your life. So I believe that this topic, the names of God, will add both knowledge and our instruction will add the wisdom on how you can apply it to your prayer walk. Today's name is Jehovah Rapha. Now, the name Jehovah Rapha means I am the God who heals. Jehovah means I am, and Rapha's the God who heals. I am the God who heals. Now, when I teach on this subject, and because I've taught on it before, you know, some people are like, wow, man, I never knew that there were more than one name for God. There are lots of names for God. But don't mistake that you're to use this instead of the name of Jesus. In fact, this couldn't be further from the truth. In fact, the Lord told us that you pray to the Father in the name of the Son. In other words, you pray to God in the name of Jesus. You don't pray to Jesus. You pray, this is out of the words of Jesus' mouth. You pray to God in the name of Jesus. But we have been given, even though the name Jesus is above all names, you know, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you know, we've been given the ability to understand the names of God and exalt those over whatever situation you're going through. Now, the reason why I say that is, you know, God, throughout his word, has revealed his character to us in very specific situations at times. As he did that to the people in the Bible, they would then call him by that name. That's how God operated. And with the name Jehovah Rapha, which we're going to cover and get into, and I think it's going to be a blessing to you, the reason why it's important to understand the names of God and how to apply them to your prayer walk, it's very simple. Let's say, for example, you knew someone who was having a leak from their kitchen sink, and they tried to fix it, but it was beyond their ability to repair or knowledge. They just didn't understand how to fix it. Well, they go and they get the phone book, and they open it up, and who are they going to call? Are they going to call the eye doctor? No, they're not going to call the eye doctor. They're going to call the plumber. Why are they going to call the plumber? Because the plumber is the person who has the knowledge and skill set to address that situation. Now, that's not saying that an eye doctor can't fix a sink, but the eye doctor is who you call. That his position or her position is to address the health of the eyes and will help you with your vision and your eyes and your eyesight. The plumber is the name you call upon when you need something with a plumbing issue. So the names of God for us are very specific that we can exalt those in our prayer walk over specific situations we're encountering. I want to read you something, and this is specifically out of the book of Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. This is when God first reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha to us. Verse 26, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord God who heals, Jehovah Rapha. That's where that name first comes from. Now, sometimes people say, well, why do we really need to know the names of God? Well, the understanding the names of God helps you with your fellowship and walk with him. In fact, it helps you understand him better. I'll give you a great example. If you've ever been blessed to spend time with your parents and fellowship with them, and when they go down memory lane and you start asking them about their past when they were little kids and the things that they used to like to do or that they enjoyed playing or the things that their parents experienced with them and stuff, as they tell you about their experiences growing up, it gives you a fresh insight and a deeper look into who they are as a person. In other words, it helps you understand their character better. When we study God's character and his names, it helps us understand his character better as well. Now, to do this subject right, really, this requires a deep dive teaching. In fact, The shortest I've ever been able to do it is in 3 condensed teachings that had a whole lot of meat inside of them with the number of gods I cover. Now, or the number of gods, I'm sorry, the names of gods I cover, because usually I cover roughly around 16 names of God. Now, I don't know if I'll go through that many for these Fridays as the Lord's showing me, but we are going to cover a few of them. And then eventually I'll probably circle back around and do a teaching or a series where I do a deep dive into the names of God. But that being said, I want to read you another scripture so you can understand the character of God a little better. This is out of Isaiah 53:5. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." This is why I bring this up. When I'm doing deep dive teachings and when I'm ministering, and there was a school I was at a while back, I was blessed to go and teach there, and the Lord had me teach the subject to them. When I teach on healing and the healing hand of God, I'll usually cover the 3 areas a person can be healed in. You have 3 areas a person can be healed in. You're a body, which is your physical body, any organ, tissue, blood, physical bone, whatever, your body. Then you have your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your thinker, your feeler, your chooser. Mind, will, emotions. Then you have your spirit. And your spirit is the deepest level, and that's your spirit that you walk with. And we're not going to go into all that, but I mentioned that so you understand it. Now, I also usually teach that there's 4 ways in which you can receive a healing. We're not going to go into that right now either. We'll cover those later on. But I'm just giving you some surface work here, some background, so you have some foundation to build off this. The reason why I bring this up is when I talk about "and by his stripes we are healed," some people don't understand what that is. You see, some people think that we're healed because of his death on the cross, talking about Jesus. No, that's not right. We got salvation through the death on the cross, but healing came through when they beat him on the mount. When they beat him for our transgressions, when they beat him because they were punishing him, at that time when Jesus was built, it doesn't tell us specifically in that verse, but we know that the highest form of Roman punishment at that time was known as the 40-1 lashings, 40-1. Here's why. The highest form of punishment was 40 lashes, but they believed that the average person, they had it like down to science, that the average person on the 40th lash would die. So they did 40-1 because they didn't want to give it a death sentence. Now, we know Jesus was by no means ordinary and no means average, praise God, but they gave him the 40-1. Now, here's why that's important. Years and years ago, in fact, decades ago, medical science had determined that there were 39 super categories in medical science that any and every type of disease, sickness, illness, disorder, mental disorder, whatever, could be classified underneath one of those main 39 super categories. In fact, over and over again, they tried to see if there was more than 39 or less, and there wasn't. There was 39. But don't you know that the world hates proving something that's already spoken in the Word? So years ago, they went away from that. In fact, they'll try to even refute that that ever existed now, but it's been documented that they have those 39 super categories. Why is that important? Because it tells us that by his stripes, we've been healed. You see, Jesus took exactly 39 stripes, one for every one of those super categories that are out there in medical science. I'm telling you that God is the God who heals, Jehovah Rapha. You're able to exalt that name over anything that you're dealing with, any type of emotional, any type of spiritual, any type of physical, anything that you're dealing with, and whether if it's a physical illness, whether if it's emotional hurt or emotional illness, whether if it's spiritual, you're able to exalt the name of Jehovah Rapha over that. You put that in your back pocket, you keep it there, or you put it in your front pocket next to your heart, you keep it there, and when you go to praying, whether if it's over yourself, over your family, over your friends, or people that you meet out on the street, as the Lord uses you, you understand that you're able to exalt Jehovah Rapha over that situation. I want to lead you in quick prayer. Lord God, over everyone who's come in contact with this today, I pray over them, I pray over their family members, and I declare you as Jehovah Rapha over any type of hurts, illnesses, or sicknesses they may be dealing with or have been dealing with. We curse those sicknesses and diseases and illnesses at the root, those disorders, we curse them at the root. We command the enemy to cease, stop, and desist in his maneuverability, and we exalt the name of Jehovah Rapha over that situation. We release the healing hand of God into them, and we declare by the mighty name of Jesus, they are healed and restored and made whole in your image. Guys, I want to thank you for taking the time to stop by today. We want to remind you to go by our website at neilreyes.com. Be sure to check out our teaching resources. We have our Champions Walk teachings and our Champions Minute daily broadcast, which is produced Monday through Friday. Guys, we're so grateful for you. We want to remind you that Jesus is Lord. He loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Oh, hallelujah. Opening now, too. Questions, clarity, comments?
Wow. It brings greater understanding in when we say, by his stripes we are healed, because he took 39 stripes, and there are 39 basic illnesses in the world. So that's why it's empowering for us to pray Jehovah Jireh, because that releases the healing that he already paid for. It's already done. We're just touching and agreeing on.
Yeah, Jehovah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Jehovah Rapha.
Jehovah.
God who heals.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. I suppose if our tools are being sharpened.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
It's empowering.
Yes.
Very empowering. We don't have to lay down and take nothing that Satan had. Stand on the word of God. Eat pain, you know. Even though your arm is hurt, you still speak to it and keep it moving.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
Wow. It's awesome. Our people perish because of lack of knowledge. I'm telling you, the secrets are right in the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is read it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we don't see because of distractions.
Mm. And the scriptures he gave out was Exodus 15 and 26.
Uh-huh.
And the scriptures he gave out for this last tape.
Uh-huh. And then 53 and 5.
In Isaiah 53 and 5.
Uh-huh.
Did you get the scriptures?
Yes, that's what we just went over, Pastor.
Okay, because y'all hear that scripture every morning.
Uh-huh.
Exodus 15.
Mm-hmm.
26.
Yes, doing
yes,
some...
sir.
And, of course, Isaiah 53, 5.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Is wounded for our transgression. By stripes we are healed.
Yes, yes, yes. And
seems like I heard it before.
Yes, you've heard it before.
Hallelujah.
I hear it
today.
Repetition.
Are y'all receiving anything today?
Yes, Pastor.
Oh.
What time is it
now? This is
sometimes you get some things you have to hear more than one time. 8:08.
Oh, you bet. That's
then,
right, because we're children. We got to hear it over and over again.
And a lot of times when some things don't become rhema until you're in a position where you have to use it or you have to use it for somebody else or somebody else, you need to use it for somebody else. And then it seems like that's when the light bulb comes on.
Yes.
When things
at least you heard it, it's down in there. Mm-hmm.
So when things sometimes get close to home or when things hit home, That's when it becomes rhema. Because a lot of times before it becomes rhema, it's just a word on the page.
Power on.
And then when it becomes rhema, it's a, wow, it jumps off the page and it becomes life to you.
And you will amaze yourself because a situation will be going on, and if you heard it, it comes up out of your belly, out of your mouth. You go, where did that come from? You know, because you heard it. It was in there.
Uh-huh.
And you surprise yourself.
Yeah. That's why it's good to feast on it. I remember my sister Vi said, she said, what you feed yourself in the good times is what's going to feed you in the bad times.
Well, I know that's right.
It's good to get in the word, stay in the word, because you never know what you're going to come up against. But when you do come up against something, so you have something already. You already have an antidote on the inside of you to counteract what's going on.
Amen.
And it doesn't hit you as hard because the word of God comforts your spirit. But just the thing, if you don't have the word of God down in your spirit, it'll rattle you, shake you, roll you, make you break out in sweat, and rub your hands together and say, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? But when you have the word of God down in you, it's just like the peace, the passive understanding. And people look at you and wonder, how in the world are you staying so cool? It's only because of the word of God down there, believe me.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you.
We got time for y'all ready?
Go ahead, sir. Okay.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Neil Reyes, and I want to welcome you to today's episode of Champions Minute. Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called Fear Tolerated is Faith Contaminated. I want to open up in prayer, and then we're going to get right into our teaching. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I submit this teaching to you today, and I'm believing that as I speak, the words that flow out of my mouth will be all of you, Lord, and none of me. I'm believing that these words are going to go out as an encouragement through love to the audience who's listening, that no matter when they're listening to this, whether they're hearing it for the first time or whether they're hearing it for the 100th time, that no matter how many times they listen to it, that it's a living word in due season, a spoken word in due season for their life, that it's a word that is growing within them, meeting them right where they're at, but encouraging them to be able to move forward in a closer relationship with you, that it brings hope to their situation, that it brings understanding to their situation, and that through this teaching, they're hearing your voice so clear that they're receiving the answers they've been seeking you and praying to you for. We lift this up to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. That being said, I want to get right into our teaching. Today's topic that we're speaking about is called Fear Tolerated is Faith Contaminated. I'm going to say that one more time because I want to let that sink in. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. That's a phrase that I've actually heard for years from the ministries of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. You know, I see Kenneth and Gloria Copeland as spiritual grandparents within the faith to me. These are people who I've listened to for so long. In fact, when I'm looking for spiritual nuggets of truth within the Word, I know that at any time I can turn on one of their broadcasts or go to their website and stream any of their materials or pick up one of their books, and that God will be faithful to speak to me through their teachings and through their ministry. These are people who I highly look up to and who I feel are founders, deep founders within the faith, teaching the faith walk. As we talk about that, this phrase that I'm teaching today, I first heard through them. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. As we talk about what is fear tolerated and why does it contaminate our faith, I want to share with you that the way we grow our faith, the number one way we grow our faith that backs it in the Word, is that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And as we hear His Word, it sows a seed in our life. But it doesn't just sow a seed in our life. It sows what is referred to as an incorruptible seed, meaning that that seed is incorruptible. It cannot be corrupted. However, much like sowing a seed in the natural, when we sow a seed in the spiritual or supernatural, we have to pay attention to the ground we're sowing it into. You know, if you were sowing a seed in your front yard or your backyard, you can't throw it in bad soil. If you throw a good seed in bad soil, it'll never produce the heart for you. It'll never produce the harvest for you that you're wanting. Just like when you sow seeds in your heart, when you sow the seed of faith, the incorruptible seed of faith within your heart, if your heart is not tended to and it's not good ground, you'll never produce the harvest you're expecting or wanting to receive. So when we talk about fear tolerated, is faith contaminated? I want to explain to you, there is not a way to corrupt the seed. The seed of faith is incorruptible. However, the ground around it can be contaminated. And the way we allow our heart to be contaminated can be through so many areas. It can be through poor decisions or through bad decisions within life. It can be by hanging around the wrong people, dating the wrong people, you know, befriending the wrong people, operating in things that we know we shouldn't. Maybe turn around and listening or watching things we know we shouldn't. But one of the biggest things or ways that we can contaminate our heart or the ground that our seed is in is by operating in fear. Now, I understand that sometimes there are situations that happen in life that as they enter you or as they surround you, that they can create so much pressure in you that people will give in to fear or they'll give in to worry over the circumstances. You know, worry is faith. That's what worry is. Worry is faith in fear. And when you allow fear to enter your heart, what I will tell you is this, is that when fear enters you and it comes into you, and let's say it's surrounding your thoughts and surrounding your mind, if fear comes in, that's understandable. I'm not going to say it's acceptable because as believers, you have fear has no place in your life, but it is understandable. But if you allow fear to remain within your life, given enough time, it will contaminate your heart. It'll contaminate your ground that your faith seed is in. And as you contaminate that ground, your faith seed will not produce for you the harvest in any situation that you're seeking. Now, it's not to say it wouldn't produce harvest in some areas. It could be that in some areas, maybe with you, with your health, you have strong faith seed. And so you've planted good groundwork on that because you've planted scriptures of God's word of healing around that seed, the faith seed. And so it's allowed that seed of faith in healing and health, good health, to mature and grow. But if you are in shaky ground when it comes to finances and you continually watch the news reports and you're watching how the market's doing or you're listening to all the people getting laid off or you're hearing people talk about the jobs they've lost or how much debt they have or how much credit card debt or things of that nature, I'm not telling you to ignore your problems. Problems don't go away by ignoring them. But if you allow negative water to come in and contaminate that heart ground, then your seed of faith in the area of finances will not produce the harvest you need because you contaminated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. And it is possible for you to have contaminated ground in certain areas of your faith walk, whereas other areas flourish and do well, it is possible for you to have parts of your heart or parts of your spiritual walk with contamination because you've sown the wrong things into your heart. In other words, you've placed the wrong things in the ground of your heart, and as you've done that, you've contaminated your faith. It doesn't mean that the seed of faith is corrupted. However, the ground it's in is contaminated. Fear tolerated, in other words, fear left unchecked, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I want to take you right to a scripture. One of the scriptures I want to read to you is James 4:7. So let's read together James 4:7. It says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, sometimes in life as we go through different things, there are different fears that will arise in us. Sometimes it's a result of poor decisions we've made. That's understandable. But other times, it's just the devil beating down on your door, trying to get you to shake or move or get off of the word of God and depend on your own abilities. And as you do, fear will begin to creep in. What I will tell you is this, though. If you keep your eyes fixed and rooted on God's word, if you keep your ears trained and focused on God's word, fear does not have much foothold to come into your life. Because when you focus on God's word, when you set yourself to listen to his word and really grow in it, as you do that, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And as you focus on listening to his word, it will grow within your life. And as his faith grows within your life, that begins to push all the other stuff out. You know, you've probably heard me mention this before, but I've talked before that people are like grapes. When you squeeze a grape on the outside, whatever's on the inside will come right out. People are just like grapes. If you squeeze a person with enough pressure, whatever's on the inside will come right out. I will tell you that as a believer, the type of believer you want to be is that as the pressures of life try to squeeze you, when it squeezes you, the only thing coming out of you is faith and God's word. Nothing says, devil, get your hands off me quicker than God's word coming out of you. When we do that, the devil has no purchase in our life. Remember, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. How do we submit ourselves to God? By spending time in his word on a daily basis. And as we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he has to flee. I want to take you to one more scripture as we close. The other scripture I have for you is 2 Timothy 1:7. So let's read together. We're going to go to 2 Timothy 1:7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We haven't been given a spirit of fear. If you're struggling with fear, understand that's not from God. You know, John 10:10 tells us that the enemy comes like a thief. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. Jesus came that we should have life and have it more abundantly. It is the enemy who is trying to plant seeds of fear within your life. And if you tolerate that fear, given enough time, it can contaminate your ground around your heart, and it will hinder the results of the harvest you need in faith in God's word. I want to close with one story as I let you go. This is a story out of my own personal life, and this is actually with my middle son, Titus. You know, I took Titus to Six Flags a while back, and as we took him to Six Flags, he was at the age where he was just starting to become tall enough to starting to ride some roller coasters. Well, in San Antonio, Texas, there's a roller coaster that he likes very much, and it's called the Roadrunner. But when I took him on it for the first time, he didn't like it too much. We turned around and we sat kind of towards the front, and as we sat towards the front of the roller coaster and we started to go, I explained to him, I say, as we go down, you're going to feel this in your chest. You're going to feel the pressure in your chest from when you're going down the steep drops or when you're turning quickly. I said, when you do, it's okay to go ahead and yell a little bit to let some of that pressure off. And I said, but you don't need to be scared. You're safe, you're buckled in, and you're going to have fun. Well, he wanted to go on it. And then when we came off of that roller coaster, he was scared. In fact, he was scared enough to where he was almost kind of on the verge of crying, which is understandable. Many people do that, boy or girl, man or woman, doesn't matter. Well, as he did that and as we were going off and we were leaving, my two older kids, my daughter Taylor and my son Timmy, wanted to go back on the ride. But when I looked at Titus, I said, that's up to Titus. And Titus did not want to go back on the ride, so we were going to find something else to do. But as we're walking down the ramp, getting ready to leave the ride, Titus looks at me and says, Dad, I changed my mind. I want to go on the ride. And I noticed that his countenance had changed. He was different. And I said, are you sure? He said, yes. And I said, all right. So we started to walk up. And as we're walking back up to get in line, I looked at him and I asked him, and I said, son, what made you change your mind about getting on the roller coaster? I said, I thought you didn't enjoy it. He said, I didn't. I said, you didn't like the roller coaster? He said, no, I didn't. I said, well, then what made you change your mind about going back on it? He goes, because I was scared of it, Dad. And I know that in my heart, I need to be able to face it. So I want to go back on it and conquer it. Man, when he said that, that spoke to me so loud. This was a boy who was about 8 years old at the time. And when he said that, it spoke so loud to me because he was ready to go back on the roller coaster, even though it frightened him at first. But inside, he knew that he had to face his fear. You see, people are like grapes, and when you squeeze them on the outside, whatever is inside will come right out. Well, he was scared on that ride, and it squeezed him with pressure. But when it squeezed him with pressure, what was on the inside was all those teachings we had given him in faith that he knew he needed to face his fears and overcome them. I will tell you that we went on that ride, and the second time we went on that ride, he enjoyed it so much, which was just a few minutes apart from the first time, that at that point we went on that ride several times a day. Now, I will tell you that since that period, that boy will now tackle any ride that he's tall enough to within the park. And the more loops and drops and speed it has in it, the more he likes it. There's a lesson to be learned from this. If there's a fear that's trying to pester you today, no matter what area it's in, don't run away from it. Don't run away from your problems. You turn around, you look it square in the eyes, and you quote God's word to it. You said James 4:7 says that if I submit myself to God, I can resist the devil and he shall flee. God, I submit myself to you. I submit myself to your word and your teachings. Devil, I resist you, and in Jesus' name I rebuke you. Be gone from me. Guys, that's what it takes to operate and walk in faith. Remember, fear tolerated is faith contaminated. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today's teachings. As always, we want to remind you to connect with us on our website. You can find us at neilreyes.com, where you can find all of our teaching resources available to stream 24 hours a day at no charge. In addition to that, we'd invite you to connect with us on our social media. You can find us on our YouTube channel. You can find us on our Facebook page or on Twitter. If you're enjoying these teachings, then we invite you to hit the like button or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Guys, if these teachings are meaning something to you, then we invite you to share them with your social media feed so that you can begin to feed those who are closest with you, that you who you love. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
It's just like banana pudding, apple pie, sweet potato pie, all rolled into one. Oh, that was good.
Yes, and a little child, don't lead them.
What did you say, Kiwi?
And a little child shall lead them.
Praise God.
Isaiah 11. And mercy.
There is a method to my gladness when I talk about learning the scripture, knowing the addresses. When you have that in your spirit, and you get squeezed by the stress and pressures of life, guess what's coming out? The word of God.
Thank God.
Don't know the strength of a tea bag. Keep putting it in water, hot water.
That's right.
Any questions about that? Anybody like that?
That was good, just like you said. Good and plenty.
Praise God. It made me think about delayed obedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience.
That's true.
Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. But we don't. That's like I say. A whole lot of times we don't consider things until somebody brings it to us or opens it to us. Just like I share with the children to watch what you're taking through your eye gates and your ear gates. You know, and we have to pay attention to what we look at, pay attention to what we listen to, and all, because those things get down in our spirit. And sometimes those things can stop you from, or can perhaps you prohibit you from breaking through in prayer when it's needed. All of these things, you know how things just, you keep seeing things in your mind. Your mind's just like a tape recorder going over and over and over and over again, and those things. And then sometimes when we have to pray for somebody, we have to believe God for somebody, something. Wow, can you really do that? Those things that we see, can those things that we take in can almost start us to doubting the word of God, or doubt God himself. Can he really do that? But if we stay away from those fleshly things, those things that we see that's contrary to the word of God, we don't have to question God. We can just, I believe God, I know God can do it. Hey, come on, let's pray. Things don't be in our way. Those things aren't in our way. But somebody say, hey, somebody call you up and say, hey, I need you to touch and agree with me in prayer. Such and such is the case. Okay, let's go. You know, you are ready for it, but you're already ready to go. You don't have all this junk and garbage in your mind. Thank God.
Sister Peaches, fear has a mighty stronghold. It can cripple you and paralyze you and keep you from living your life. It's like a building on your chest, and you can't get up because you're so afraid. Afraid to even step out of the boat and venture out. It can hold you in a prison.
Yes.
And you will not get out unless you break those bonds. You can't even be the person you're supposed to be if you have that type of clutching fear over your heart and mind that you can't do. And it needs to be broken. And once it's broken, you are free to go and fly exactly what God wants you to be.
Yes. The word said fear
is a stronghold.
It's a torment.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's almost
up there with depression, you know? Very strong.
Oh, Jesus. What were you saying, Pastor?
Oh, I just want to share that so many scriptures I heard him share that we hear often. And let me know we on the right path. You understand what I'm saying?
Confirmation, Pastor. Confirmation.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's so good. What he's been doing with us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm just excited to see what he's going to do next season. But anyway.
Get ready.
Thank God for the word.
Amen.
Dr. Bird.
Praise the Lord. It feels so good.
For tonight. Thank God for each other.
God bless.
Blessing every family represented tonight.
Bluetooth connected.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
May God cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the seed that was sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, that it fell on good ground. We thank you, Lord, for 36, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase and blessing.
Yes, yes.
We thank you, Lord, for meeting all our needs in abundance.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord, for multiplying the seed in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We praise your name and we glorify your name. We magnify your name in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. God loves you. We love you, too.
Love you all in the morning.
Yes.
Holy, you're holy and anointed, you're risen and exalted one.
Bless you real good.
Amen. God bless everybody with sweet sleep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen.